Trade Alert and Trading Club Update, Week 4. The value of the Trading Club tracking portfolio settled at $127,492 at the close of trading on Thursday, January 29, up 27.5% since our May 30 launch. See the detailed portfolio snapshot below. We made 6 trades this week, including the purchase of Figma, FIG, shares on Monday, January 26, based on our recommendation made on Friday, January 23. Bought 100 shares of Figma NYSE, FIFE, at $28.48 per share. On Wednesday, January 28, we also sold our remaining position in silver in addition to several covered call sales, based on our recommendation made on Tuesday, January 27. Sold 100 shares of iShares Silver Trust, NYSE, SLV, at $104.31 per share. Sold to open 1 Celsius Holdings, NASDAQ, sell, $60 covered call, expiring March 20, 2026, at $3.39 per share. Sold to open 1 Chipotle Mexican Grill, NYSE, CMG, $42.50 covered call, expiring March 20, 2026, at $1.49 per share. Sold to open 1 Nike, NYSE, NKE, $70 covered call, expiring March 20, 2026, at $1.32 per share. Sold to open 2 Triple Flag Precious Metals, NYSE, TFPM, $40 covered calls, expiring March 20, 2026, at $2.29 per share. In today's issue, we review a major risk in today's market that Porter has recently warned about. We then explain how the Trading Club strategy is built to navigate these risks, using the power of non-correlated returns. Finally, we address a few recent subscriber questions from the mailbag, bracing for a 1970s-style financial crisis. If you haven't caught Porter's latest tour de force in the Daily Journal, I highly recommend reading his recent warnings about a repeat of the 1970s financial crisis, which you can find here and here. To summarize, Porter explained how the runaway U.S. government spending of the 1970s led to a bond market meltdown, a technical default on U.S. debt, and a lost decade of negative real returns for most financial assets. The only difference between then and now is the scope of the problem. During the 1970s, America's federal budget deficit averaged less than 5% of GDP. Uncle Sam has blown these numbers out of the water in the 2020s, with an average U.S. federal deficit of 8.6% of GDP. And just like in the 1970s, foreign investors have responded by dumping U.S. treasuries and the dollar in favor of alternative stores of value like precious metals, with gold prices up by 223% and silver prices 655% higher since the start of 2020. Using the 1970s as a guide, Porter explained what this is all leading to: a loss of confidence in the U.S. honoring its financial obligations. That means we can expect further declines in the dollar, and an uptick in treasury yields that will wreak havoc on America's over-leveraged, hyper-financialized economy. If history is any guide, this could lead to another lost decade of real returns in U.S. financial assets. During the 1970s, investors found safe havens in hard assets like commodities and gold, but it wasn't a smooth ride. From 1973 to 1974, a devastating bear market sent stocks, bonds, commodities, and precious metals prices down 25% to 50%. No asset class was spared. That's the major risk that Porter sees coming at some point, and one that I fully agree with. Now, here's the hard part: figuring out what to do about this. As Porter explained in a follow-up note earlier this week, it's simply impossible to predict when such a crisis will hit, and that presents a big challenge for investors. On the one hand, moving to cash or short-term treasuries means taking the risk of losing wealth to inflation. On the other hand, remaining fully invested carries the risk of even bigger losses in a 1973 to 1974 style bear market. These warnings have proved prescient. This morning, a hotter-than-expected inflation reading for January sent U.S. Treasury yields higher, with gold prices dropping 10% and silver plunging by more than 20%. Now, for the good news. We believe that the strategies we've built into the Trading Club provide an excellent opportunity for staying fully invested. But one of the biggest challenges with our trading approach is understanding the why. With dozens of different positions at any given time, and some trades positioned for higher prices while others only pay off at lower prices, it can admittedly feel a little chaotic at times. So today, we're doing something a little different and diving into the theoretical foundation of what we're trying to achieve with the Trading Club strategy. We'll use a hypothetical wager to illustrate the magic of harvesting non-correlated returns. A can't-lose bet. Let's say I offered you the following proposition. We'll flip an honest coin 10 times, and you'll earn a 100% return on heads versus a 50% loss on tails. I'll also guarantee you a final outcome of 5 heads and 5 tails, and we'll let you bet up to a maximum of $100 at the start. On the surface, This might sound like a can't-lose opportunity. After all, I've offered you a guaranteed $25 average return per coin flip, based on the following expected value formula. Expected value equals win probability x amount won, loss probability x amount lost. Coin flipping expected value equals 0.5x $100, 0.5x $50, equals plus $25 per coin flip. So, the only question left is, how much of the $100 maximum allowed bet do you put at stake to maximize your returns? Ask 100 rational, profit-seeking investors this question, and 99 will say bet the full $100, myself included when first presented with this question. After all, if you have a guaranteed positive expected return, you'll make the most money by betting as much as possible, right? Let's run the numbers and find out. A quick note to start, the order of returns here is immaterial. You'll arrive at the same end result regardless of whether you flip 5 heads followed by 5 tails, or alternate evenly between heads and tails, or any combination in between. With that said, here's the table showing the results of our coin flipping wager under this maximum bet scenario. As it turns out, the maximum betting option produces a 0% final compounded return, despite earning an average 25% return across all coin flips. What happened here? The answer lies in the highlighted cells above. The extreme volatility eroded the compounded returns down to 0%. This phenomenon is known as the volatility tax, which acts like a silent thief robbing your portfolio of its full compounding potential. Volatility, the hidden tax in your portfolio. You can think of volatility as a sort of drag coefficient on your portfolio. It's the key factor that determines how efficiently you transform potential, average, returns into realized, compounded, returns. The mathematical relationship at work is expressed in the equation below, which can be rearranged as, in plain English, the math says that investors have two options for boosting their bottom line: compounded returns, increase average returns, or reduce volatility. Most investors spend 99% of their time focusing on option number one. After all, that's the exciting part. Everyone wants to find the next hot stock that can double or triple in value. But in many cases, the far easier path to higher returns comes from simply reducing the volatility tax incurred within a portfolio. We can see how this works by revisiting our coin flipping example. Reducing the volatility tax lets rerun the same coin flipping sequence as before, but with one twist: cut the bet size in half. Instead of wagering 100% of your capital on each coin flip, you keep half of your portfolio value in cash on the sidelines with each wager. Here's how the math works out in this half-cash scenario. Voila! The simple act of cutting your bet size in half boosts your final cash pile from $100 to $180, resulting in a compounded return of 6.1%. Note that you cut your average returns in half, from 25% to 12.5%, versus the maximum bet scenario. At the same time, volatility was cut in half from 75% to 37.5%. The magic comes from the non-linearity at work. The volatility reduction had a greater than 1-for-1 impact on the final compounded returns, which increased from 0% to 6.1%. So even though the return potential came down, the drop in volatility created an even bigger positive impact that boosted the final compounded return. Now the astute among you will note that, even with this cash diversifier, we're still leaving a lot of money on the table. After all, we have a coin flipping scheme capable of generating 25% average returns, but we're only earning 6.1% compounded returns. Fortunately, we've got one final trick up our sleeve to harvest this untapped potential. Compounding Nirvana lets rerun the same coin flipping proposition, except this time, we add an inverse coin into the mix. As the name implies, the inverse coin produces the exact opposite outcome of the regular coin, i.e., 50% loss on heads versus a 100% gain on tails. In mathematical terms, these two coins enjoy a perfect negative correlation with one another. The table below shows the result of maintaining a constant 50-50 exposure to these negatively correlated coins. Welcome to compounding Nirvana, the perfectly efficient transformation of average return potential into compounded wealth through total volatility reduction. The secret sauce here comes from the negative correlation. It allows us to combine high returning, but highly volatile assets, in such a way that the gains from one return sequence perfectly offsets the losses from the other. The end result is a total suppression of volatility, which fully transforms the average return potential into compounded wealth, with zero friction. We can see this process at work in the chart below, with each coin's volatile path plotted against the perfectly smooth portfolio value. Of course, this is a hypothetical situation that will never replicate in the real world of financial markets. But this exercise reveals what's possible in the ideal scenario, so that we know what to aim for within the constraints of practical reality. So, how does this translate into the trading club strategy? We think of our cash-secured put sales as a loose approximation of the half-cash scenario described earlier. These trades behave like idle cash in the portfolio when the underlying stocks trade above the option strike price. But unlike idle cash, these put sales typically come with a return potential of 20% to 30%. Of course, it's not a perfect comparison as there's real downside risk in selling puts. However, if we do a good job with stock selection, this downside is simply buying shares of great businesses at attractive prices. That way, if we lose money temporarily on the puts, we're ideally setting ourselves up to own shares in a business that offers attractive future returns in the next sequence of the coin flip. Next, you can think of covered calls as a loose approximation of the inverse coin scenario for our individual stock positions. Covered calls trade inversely with the underlying stock prices, while still offering the same attractive rates of return of 20% to 30% in the event that they expire worthless. Conversely, if the underlying stock trades above the call strike price, we've limited our upside but still generated a highly attractive total return on the full position. We also recognize that covered calls and cash-secured puts both offer limited return potential, and thus we miss out on the unlimited upside of owning great businesses over time. We approach that deficit with our third strategy of buying call options for asymmetric upside. This way, we always have some positions in the portfolio offering a source of unlimited return potential. Finally, our downside hedges from purchasing put options act like an inverse coin applied to the entire portfolio. These instruments will expire worthless during bull markets, but they provide the critical source of crisis alpha during bear markets, allowing us to limit the fallout when most other stocks in the portfolio are losing money. These trades are designed to provide a key source of volatility reduction and a fail-safe against the biggest enemy of wealth compounding, large drawdowns in the overall portfolio. Here's the bottom line in all of this. We designed this trading approach for durability, above all else. By combining multiple non-correlated return streams together into a balanced portfolio, we believe we have the best chance of navigating any environment, bull, bear, or sideways markets. And while we can't guarantee any individual trade will pan out, we believe that applying this trading process consistently over time will yield excellent long-term results. Let us know what you think by dropping us a line at mailbag@porterandcompanyresearch.com. Portfolio overview. The table below shows all current holdings as of the close of trading on Thursday, January 29. Note that we have added prices for our current buy/sell recommendations in the updated table below. A few notes on how to read and interpret this portfolio table. Please pay special attention to the action column, where we specify whether each trade is a buy or sell to open transaction. Next, the position size for each trade is equal to the current value of the position, with the exception of the cash-secured puts. In the case of the cash-secured puts, we define the position size as the total value of our future commitment to purchase 100 shares for each contract. This number is calculated as follows. Position size equals number of contracts x 100x put strike price. We use this number because it accurately reflects our total capital commitment, and thus our total risk exposure on the trade. For example, in the case of the Celsius, NASDAQ, sell, $40 put, the position size equals 1 by 100x $40 equals $4,000. We use this number because it accurately reflects our total capital commitment, and thus our total risk exposure on the trade. To see the current profit/loss across each open position and other details, please see the live snapshot of our tracking portfolio at the end of this update. Next, the links below will take you to each of the original recommendations in the current portfolio, including the 5 call contracts and shares of British American Tobacco, NYSE, BTI, which we covered in our inaugural trade series, here, and in a video recorded on May 30, which can be found here, the June 2 Triple Flag Precious Metals, NYSE, TFPM. Recommendation can be found here, the October 30 recommendation of the Invesco QQQ Trust, NASDAQ QQQ, put option can be found here, the July 24 recommendation of Philip Morris International, NYSE, PM, trades can be found here, the August 21 recommendation of Chipotle Mexican Grill, NYSE, CMG, can be found here, the September 2 recommendation of the iShares Silver Trust ETF, NYSE, SLV, can be found here. The September 18 recommendation of PayPal, NASDAQ, Pipple, can be found here. The September 24 recommendation of the Celebrite, NASDAQ, CLBT, risk reversal options trade can be found here. The December 19 recommendation of Nike, NYSE, NKE, can be found here. The January 9 recommendation of the Invesco QQQ Trust, NASDAQ, QQQ, put option can be found here. The January 13 recommendation of LandBridge, NYSE, Pound, and WaterBridge Infrastructure, NYSE, WBI, can be found here. The January 21 recommendation of EQT, NYSE, EQT, calls and waterbridge infrastructure, NYSE, WBI, cash secured puts can be found here. Plus, the following seven trades published on Thursday, December 4th, can be found here. They are the purchase of 100 shares of Celsius, NASDAQ, sell, and the sale of one sell $40 cash secured put, expiring March 20, 26, the purchase of 100 shares of Booz Allen Hamilton, NYSE, BAH, and the sale of one BAH $100 covered call, expiring March 20, 2026, the sale of one Philip Morris International, NYSE, PM, $175 covered call, expiring March 20, 2026, the sale of one PayPal, NASDAQ, PIPL, $70 covered call, expiring March 20, 2026, the sale of two Viper Energy, NASDAQ, Venom, $40 cash secured puts, expiring March 20, 2026, the sale of one Chipotle Mexican Grill, NYSE, CMG, $32.50 cash secured put, expiring March 20, 2026, the sale of seven Kenvue NYSE, Cavu, $17 cash secured puts, expiring March 20, 2026. Next, we'll address a number of subscriber questions in the mailbag. Mailbag, please note that nothing we write should ever be considered individual investment advice, as we are not licensed to provide such guidance. This material is for educational purposes only, and we recommend consulting with a licensed financial advisor for individual investment advice. The first question is regarding our recent trades in PayPal, PYPL, and iShares Silver ETF, SLV, call options. I don't understand why we took such a beating on PayPal, and also why did my account sell 200 shares of SLV on call option? Please help me understand both. Ross response, as for the sale of 200 SLV shares at $60, this was the end result of our previous sale of two covered call options at the $60 strike price. Each time we sell a covered call, we are making a commitment to sell the underlying shares at the option strike price. On PayPal, I will concede that we took a small loss on the position, but characterizing it as a beating seems like a stretch. Shown below is the full history of the PayPal trades we've made, which begins with the original purchase of 150 shares at $68.69 for a cost basis of $10,303.50 on September 19. We then exited the position in two stages. The sale of 50 shares at $68.11 on October 31 for $3,405.25, and the sale of 100 shares on January 14, at an average price of $56.91 for a total of $5,691.06. These trades in PayPal shares resulted in a net loss of $1,207.19. However, along the way, we also sold two covered calls. The first covered call generated $189.33 on October 14, which expired worthless, resulting in a 100% gain. The second call sale on December 4 generated $222.34 in proceeds, which we closed early on January 14 for a cost of $65.02, resulting in a net gain of $157.32. The total gains from both covered call trades came out to $346.65, which partially offset the $1,207.19 in losses from PayPal shares, for a net loss of $860.54. Your individual returns likely differed slightly from our results given that we transacted the day following each recommendation, but should approximately line up with our trades, all of which are shown below. The bottom line is that the $860.54 loss on all PayPal trades represented less than 1% of our total portfolio capital. Of course, with the benefit of hindsight, this was a bad trade. But the reality is that we will not get every trade right. The goal is to win more than we lose, and limit the fallout when we get it wrong. And if we can limit the damage to less than 1% of our capital on the losing trades, I'll consider that a success. The final point I'd bring up is that this look-back exercise is useful in that it clearly illustrates the power of using covered calls as a risk reducer. By systematically selling calls on this position, we cut our losses by 29% versus what we would have experienced from simply buying and selling PayPal shares in isolation. The next question concerns potential tax implications of the trading club strategy. I am a member of the trading club. Your suggestion to sell all silver, I hold a lot, may make sense, but nothing is without consequences. Taxes. Not only the IRS, but for those of us on Medicare, there is IRAMA. Younger folks may not realize how significant this is. I didn't. So, overall, do you at Porter & Company consider such implications? Ross response, our number one goal, above all else, is to achieve high risk-adjusted returns. In my experience, letting tax implications influence the decision-making process can often backfire and become a major drag on returns over time. On the SLV trade in particular, My belief is that when a trade works out exactly as intended and the market hands you a chance to lock in 180% returns in 8 months, you should take it and happily pay the tax bill. That said, I do appreciate the tax burden involved with short-term trading, something I'm painfully reminded of each April. And while we can't give financial advice, I can tell you the best thing I've done personally to limit this burden: putting as much of my trading capital as possible into tax-deferred retirement accounts. The good news is that we have specifically set up our strategy to employ the basic options trades that can be performed in virtually any retirement account that offers a self-directed investment plan. This includes IRAs, 401ks, and HSAs, to name a few, all of which I've personally taken advantage of to make the same kinds of trades we employ in the trading club. The final thing I would point out is that we always reiterate that each trade we recommend is merely a recommendation. We appreciate that every individual has a unique financial situation, and thus our specific trades might not be suitable for you. So we would always advise carefully considering things like taxes when making any investment decision, and to consult with a financial advisor if you need further guidance. If you have any questions or feedback, the Trading Club Forum is the best chance to get a quick response from our team. If you haven't yet checked it out, click here to gain access and join the conversation. Alternatively, you can always email us at mailbag@porterandcompanyresearch.com. Good investing, Ross Hendricks, Porter & Company. Click on the portfolio to enlarge and view it in a new window.